Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
For many of us, the longer winter evenings can bring on a sense of dread. Higher energy bills coming through the letterbox, rising prices at the checkout when we're paying for the weekly shop, and at the petrol pumps as we fill up the car. That means there's lots of people feeling very real fear about the future and what it might mean for them. And for our older citizens, that fear can be amplified. Now, earlier this week, Age Action said many older people in Ireland have been struggling to regain their independence since the COVID lockdowns. And I'm joined by Dr. Dara Hume, a GP in Cavan. Good morning to you, Dara. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me.
So you have lots of older patients who are attending your surgery, many of them living in rural areas. So how much would you say the economic uncertainty, first of all, is impacting on them? And are they changing their behaviour because of the fear over rising bills?
Absolutely, Claire. There's certainly a lot of fear out there. And I suppose when we start the conversation, it draws out some of the comments that I've heard a lot. Like, I've heard people saying everything's so expensive. I had one lady, God love her, she said she stopped going to bingo because she's afraid she won't have the money then to tax her car in a few months' time. People have said, you know, my ESB bill's gone up, so I don't turn the lights on as early. Someone else said they bought a new blanket. And one of the commonest ones I hear is, well, I only go to Mass, I go out to Mass once a week and I go to do the weekly shop. And after that, I leave the car at home. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the fuel costs as well. You know, there's no question there's a lot of concern out there around those, you know.
So for these people, they may have not ventured out very much at all during COVID and gone from that now to being very wary of using the car and being out and doing nice things for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I actually don't think our elderly population have returned to their baselines, a lot of them. You'll often see them, they'll still have their masks on, even out in areas that are very safe. They don't tend to travel as much. They're not out and about as much. And now their home isn't necessarily a safe, cosy haven for them as well, which is a real worry.
Mm-hmm. And are you concerned that when it comes to food and heating, and these are very important things for health, that the cutbacks there might have an impact?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our elderly population, they need good nutrition and they need warmth for good health. And particularly if they get ill, even more reason for them to need heat to keep warm and have good nutrition. So my concern would be that a lot of these are cutting back and are therefore having low cost and low nutrition food, you know, as a way of saving money. And obviously, a lot of they live in older houses. They mightn't be as well insulated. And any stress can have an enormous effect on health. So it's a sort of a catch-22. Stress and anxiety can cause low mood and poor health. And then they have the worries then about funding their good nutrition and good heating.
And Dara, a lot of these people in their 80s, will have seen very hard times in their youth. Are they reminded of those times? Are they saying that to you?
Yeah, actually, one gentleman was telling me he remembers playing with ration books at the end of World War II. And that generation are now in their 80s. So a lot of that generation do remember it. And they're a proud generation. They're used to austerity. But we have to remember, they're very poor at asking for help. You know, I would often say to people, well, what about talking to your family? And the concern that what I typically get is, well, everyone is so busy and should they have all their own worries and they have all their own bills? So, you know, they are poor at asking for help. So I think it's important that we recognise that and maybe we ask the questions ourselves, you know.
So clearly then anxiety is on the rise in general terms amongst that age group.
Yeah, I mean, anxiety is on the rise across the nation anyway, but I think particularly in the last number of months, the fear and the biggest trigger for anxiety is change. So, you know, worrying about the future, unsure about the future. And I suppose when people are fine and life is stable, well, then anxiety is stable. But once there are worries about the future, that certainly can trigger a lot of symptoms in people and a lot of fear.
Will you tell me about the symptoms of anxiety? Because people might struggle to identify it.
Yeah, I suppose, again, as I said, when life is fine, I'm okay. But once things change, so it's that kind of anxious knot in your stomach, maybe feeling a little bit sick or a feeling of something terrible is going to happen. Waking up feeling frightened, worrying excessively about the future. And as the key to any mental health issues is communication, is talking to people and sharing those feelings. But unfortunately, if people live on their own, they're either single, widowed, divorced or single parent, they may not have that person on a day-to-day basis to share those fears with. And often people mightn't see anyone now from one end of the week to the next.
Mm-hmm. And these people who are coming back to you now after the pandemic, you won't have seen them for a while. Have you noticed physical changes?
I have, Claire. And, you know, we were doing a clinic recently, a COVID booster clinic, and I've just noticed a few, but their mobility is gone in some cases. Two, actually, I noticed had lost quite a lot of weight, and we've gone down that investigation road. Now, whether that's physical or psychosocial, I'm not entirely sure. We have to rule physical first, but certainly you do notice changes. The last 2.5 years has taken such a huge amount out of our elderly population, and they're the people who built this country. You know, they're the people who worked hard all their lives and paid their taxes, and they should be at a stage in their life where they're coasting, you know, where they're rewarded for their hard work and not have to worry about trying to survive on a contributory pension of 253 per week, you know.
Yeah, and what you're hearing is it's not enough, and there's a fear there that it won't be enough, say, in a month or 2 months' time.
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the one that was mentioned to me, it's a real old phrase, is a fear of being put out on the road. It's a real old phrase, you know, that what if my rent is put up? Someone else said to me, I had mentioned about savings, and I would often say to my elderly, don't bring your few pounds with you, spend it when you're alive, you know. But as somebody said to me, well, that my savings are for my funeral.
Yes.
So, well, that's, you know, will I be able to? Yeah, it's scary.
That's a common concern that you hear with people who are in that age group, that they won't leave a burden behind them for somebody else to pick up.
Yeah,
You are very clear on the importance of social contact for people who spend a lot of time on their own.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're social creatures. We're meant to be out and about and keeping active. And I suppose, you know, the things that keep us stable and keep us happy are being out, being social, being active. So I would certainly encourage people to try and get out for a walk every day, even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes up and down the road. You mightn't necessarily meet somebody, but if you do, great, have a little chat about the weather or to have a little rant or a vent of their feelings, you know, because these are people that are dreading the long evenings and dreading the dark evenings and the cold evenings.
And
do you
give that advice in particular to people who might be getting over a bereavement?
Absolutely, yeah, because I think, again, whenever there's a bereavement, there's lots of company for a while and then it fades away. So I suppose one of the main reasons I'm delighted to talk to you today is to maybe offer a few suggestions that what people could do perhaps to maybe help out, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think they're a generation that are terrible at asking for help. It's like, if you say, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm grand. Do you need anything? No, I'm fine. But if we ask maybe an open question like, well, how about I include your shopping in my shopping? Or how about you come to Tesco or whatever your shop is with me? Or how about, I'll pop in for a cup and we can have a little chat. So it's about making little suggestions for people and us bringing out the conversation. They don't ask for help, so they probably won't offer. But if you make suggestions, that can certainly help.
And, yes.
Other things, vitamin D is very important for the winter, to get out for a walk every day, to just not stop mood medications. That's another one as well. Sometimes people would say, oh, do I need these tablets anymore? If you are on mood medication, stay on them for the winter. Wait until the spring when the lambs are back out in the fields and everyone's in better form before you come off these medications.
So as a GP, if you were having a conversation with somebody about changing medication, mood medication, you wouldn't be doing it at this time of the year, is what you're saying?
No, absolutely not, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Dara, thank you very much. That's very useful information, and it's good to talk to you as always. Dr. Dara Hume there, who is a GP in Cavan. Now,